Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters here in the United States and A good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Europe. God bless you, and welcome to today's broadcast of Wolf Tracker University. Listen, saints, I need your help. The Wolf Tracker needs your help. As you know, we're coming close. We're coming close to the date, of the release of the first book in the series. We are working around the clock to produce a series of books that will provide some kind of spark, if you will, some kind of spark that we hope will cause a groundswell of conversation, a spark that will stir up much debate, a spark that will get people thinking outside of the box, a spark as it pertains to a series of books commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, and a series of books that will provide answers as to why is it that in the African American church do we see a hostile takeover? We can see the African American church right before our very eyes changing, transforming, morphing into something she has never been. The historic black church has never looked like she looks today. Never, ever. And these books will provide the answer. These books will tell you why. These books will help crack the cryptid code. And we are planning. We're doing everything in our power, everything humanly possible. And of course, we are beseeching God's aid, but we're doing everything possible to release the first book November the 19th of this year. That'll be a Saturday. It will be launched on Sister Puzio's program, Prophetic News. And it is on that broadcast that Saturday that we plan to let the world know about the first book and the subsequent series of books that will follow. And our goal is our goal. And it's an obtainable goal. It's in reach. Our goal is to release one book per month in all of 2017. We're planning. With the book that we're going to release this year, to just kind of sound the alarm, that book will be the trumpet sound. That book will be the clarion call. After that, our goal is to release one book per month dealing with the Roman Catholic takeover, if you will. And listen, the Roman Catholic Church is just a front for Satan. So when I say Roman Catholic takeover, I'm talking about a satanic takeover of the black church, of the historic black church, which is undergoing a satanic makeover as we speak. And the makeover is happening at such a rapid rate. And so I need your help. And this is where you can help me. If you can just devote a half hour a day or an hour a day to getting addresses, if there's some way that you can go on the internet and just look up African American churches, just look up websites of African American churches. And if you can find an email address for that church, or if you can find a mailing address for the church, and the name of the bishop. And if you can email those back to me, we want to put together a directory of congregations that we can target, that we can get email advertising to. Because we need to reach these bishops who are heading in the wrong way. They're just heading in the wrong direction. So we're looking for the names of the bishops and the addresses, the physical address of these African American churches. And if you can get us an email address, that would be the cherry on top. Because with the email addresses, we can do email blast. And we can send out the advertising for the book. And then we can send them by mail a flyer. In hopes that the word will spread. We have actually no budget for this. So we have to use our ingenuity. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to have to scrape the barrel. We don't even have a barrel to scrape. All we have is a mandate from God to do this. All we have from God is the ability to do it. And all we have from God is the will to do it. We have a mandate, we have the ability, and we have the will. That's all we have. There's no money. There is absolutely no money. There is absolutely no budget. We are budgetless. But we have God. We have His mandate to do it. He has trained us so that now we're able to do it, and we have a will and a desire to do it. But I need your help. You may live in Alabama. You may live in Louisiana. You may live in Mississippi. You may live in Georgia. You may, I don't know where you live. I don't know where you live. You know where you live. You may live in Delaware. You may live in New Jersey. You may live in Florida. You may live in Texas. And you may know of churches in your area. You may know of their physical address. You may know, and I'm looking for churches that the pastor already goes by bishop. Already goes by bishop. And we're looking to develop a database of physical addresses and of email addresses so that we can do email blasts and we can do some basic mailing. We can probably have, we can create a postcard advertising the book, and a postcard is not as expensive as a regular letter. It's not. Postcards are pretty inexpensive. So we can probably get a postcard done and mail it to these churches. And maybe the secretary will see the postcard before she gives it to the bishop, and she'll write the information down. Maybe the mailman goes to one of these kinds of churches, and he'll. So look, folks, where there's a will, there's a way. And I need your help. So can you do some investigating for us? Can you go on the internet? Can you grab your local phone book? Can you look up churches and see if this church has a website? The bishop's name, the first lady's name, the church's mailing address, and see if they have an email address. Because we plan to come out with this book on November 19th, And we're just going to use radio, internet radio, as a form of advertising. We're going to use Twitter and Facebook as a form of advertising. We're going to use YouTube as a form of advertising. But then we can also use mailing, inexpensive mailing, as much as a regular letter. So we can cut down, cost. Even in mailing, if we're smart enough, we can cut down our cost. But we need to get the word out. I need your help. You are the Lord's boots on the ground. That's who you are. You're the Lord's boots on the ground. Help me. We have no staff here. The one or two people that occasionally volunteer, that's it. If this was a gunfight at the OK Corral, basically you would have Wyatt Earp by himself. No Doc Holliday, no Earp brothers. It would just be Wyatt Earp walking into the OK Corral for a gunfight with hardly no backing. Pretty much like David, when David took on Goliath. There were a lot of spectators in Israel, but there was nobody really backing David's play other than the Lord. David said to Goliath, "This day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. This day shall the Lord." So I need your help. So you can email this information. You can email us this key, critical, important information at wolftracker14@gmail.com. Wolftracker14. Use that email address. I'm going to have someone checking into that email address, pulling up the information that you send, and we're going to do a directory. We're going to do a database. And that would be, the email address would be wolftracker14@gmail.com. So please help us. Help us create this database. Help us get ready. Help us make a difference for the Lord. Be part of this reformation. Be part of it. And if you can just do a little bit each day, if you can get one address a day, if you can get the information of one church, one bishop per day, and if we have 100 people doing that per day, that's 100 new leads. 100 new leads per day. So help us out. Help me, because we're gung-ho. We've heard the Lord. We've heard what he said. We are here capable of doing it, of researching, writing, editing, proofreading. We have the skill to do that. And we have the will. Now I just need your help. Can you help me find one churches per day, two African-American churches per day? Give me their mailing address and the name of their bishop. Because when we send them each and every month the advertising for the book, on Judgment Day, if they just take it and throw it in the garbage, if they take the email and they just delete it, on Judgment Day, that would be held against them. They will be without excuse. And like myself, you would also be a watchman on the wall. You would be another Ezekiel in this hour. and having no blood on your hands. Because you assisted in the proclaiming of God's word. So help us out. I need your help. I need your help. I need your prayers, and then I need your help in doing in the collecting of data so that we can reach out to these pastors. I don't know anybody in Texas, but you may live in Texas. I don't know anybody in Louisiana, but you may know. I don't know anyone in Jersey or Delaware or Maryland or Virginia or North and South Carolina, but you may know. You may know people in Georgia, in Atlanta, that I don't know. They may be in your neighborhood. You may have 10 to 15 churches in your neighborhood. 10 to 15. Where the bishop is already getting dressed like a pope. Help me out. Well, saints, we're talking about how the Roman Catholic Philistines are on the march and how they are invading our churches to do what? To clog the wells, to poison the water. We have already seen that Satan is an equal opportunity employer, that he will use male Philistines like those who contended with Isaac over the wells. Those Philistines were male soldiers. But then we saw later on that Satan used Philistine, who were women, to come against God's leaders, a la Samson. And they messed Samson up. I read to you the scriptures. I read to you in Judges chapter 13. I read to you in Judges chapter 16, verse 1. In Judges chapter 16, verse 4. We saw how Samson had a problem. Not with women, because if men like women, that's not a problem. But he had a problem with women who were not covenanted to God. And God says, do not equally yoke together with unbelievers. But not only did he have a problem with women who didn't love God, he also liked lewd women. He liked prostitutes. He liked prostitutes. He liked salacious women. The kind of women that know how to put spin on their words. But when you wake up out of the nightmare, you see, when you like the spin that these women put on their words, when you wake up out of the nightmare, you are like a fly in their spider web, caught, can't break free, ready to be devoured by your predator. They are the predator, and you are the prey. And so we saw yesterday how the devil is going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at us. And we looked at that when we saw Revelation 12, verse 15, when we saw how the serpent released out of his mouth, as it was, waters like a flood or like a tsunami. We dealt with that yesterday. Today, I want to look at it from a different angle. And I want to go to Revelation 17, verse 4, because I want to focus on the fact that the devil uses prostitutes. He uses women. Like the devil is trying to do to you and me and the rest of Christ's church what he had Delilah do to Samson, is basically what I'm sharing with you today. The woman who rides the beast in Revelation 17 is a soul assassin. She's a soul assassin. Not S-O-L-E, even though she is the only woman on top of the beast. She is the soul rider. She's the soul person on the saddle, if you will. But no. By soul, I mean S-O-U-L. She's a soul assassin. The woman who rides the beast, the prostitute, the harlot. And it's interesting because in ancient Rome, when you entered into a brothel, the historians tell us that the prostitutes would have a frontlet. It's like a label tied on their foreheads. And on that frontlet, you would have their name. You would have the name of the prostitute. You would have the name of the hooker. You would have the name of the sidewalk Sally written across the frontlet that was tied to her forehead. So it says here in Revelation 17, verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having what? What is she? She has a golden cup. And in this golden cup, she has what? A mixture of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead, like the prostitutes of Rome, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So this is a full-fledged prostitute. She's on Satan's payroll. She's a soul assassin. And she's after you and me. And the way she beguiles us is that she entraps us with the words that come out spinning out of her mouth. And boy, can she razzle-dazzle folk. How do I know that? Because look at how so many in the black church have already bought into her lies. So many in the church have bought into her lies. How do we know they bought into her lies? Because they too are dressed now in purple and in scarlet. They're too running, racing to don these pagan episcopal garments. It's a stampede to these shops where they sell this episcopal paraphernalia. There's a stampede. People are stepping over each other to get their hands on these clown suits. But I want to focus on the fact that she has a cup in her hand and it's full of abominations and filthiness. Abominations. So I want to call today's lesson. I want to call today's lesson Church a la Putanesca. Church a la Putanesca. The word puta in Latin, and all of its derivative languages like Spanish, the word puta means prostitute, whore, harlot, and there was a dish. Now, some would argue that this dish goes all the way back to the first century. Others would argue, no, it's a 20th century invention. It first appeared in 1950. Others would argue that it first appeared in the 1960s. Nobody really knows where the dish spaghetti a la Putanesca originated. Again, there are urban myths. Some would argue, well, the prostitutes in the days of the Caesars, those prostitutes that didn't have and didn't make much money, would create a spaghetti dish. They would create a meal. And they would put in a pot all of the scraps that they had, all of the scraps. They didn't have a lot of money, so they took a little bit of this, a little bit of that, whatever they had, a little bit of everything, and they would put it into the pot. And that was called food, a meal, a la putanesca. A meal the harlot's way, the harlot's way. There's another story that goes that there was a restaurant owner in Italy in the 1950s who was closing up his restaurant, and some customers came in very, very late, and they begged the restaurant owner, "We're so hungry. We're just starving. Whip up whatever you have." And he said, "I don't have much. Whip up whatever you have, and we'll have it, and we'll enjoy it." So the restaurant owner went back into his kitchen and put all the scraps in a pot with some pasta, some sauce, and whatever. And he came out and he said, "What is this?" And he said, "Spaghetti a la putanesca." In that case, the term putanesca simply meant scraps. Spaghetti's a la scrap. Spaghetti a la garbage. So I would like to submit to you today that the woman who rides the beast, the woman is offering church a la putanesca. Church a la putanesca. You see, what does she have in her cup? She has a little bit of this abomination and a little bit of that abomination. And she has a little bit of this filthiness and a little bit of that filthiness. And so that's what she's serving, because she's a harlot. She's a prostitute. She's a sidewalk Sally. And although she is rich, because she is decked out in the finest garments, she is decked out in the finest of garments and is decked out in the greatest of jewelry, yet her appetite, she may have a lot of money, but her appetite is that of a putanesca. You see, she just can't break away from who she really is. Pretty much like Paula White. Paula White's always saying, when she rehearses her life story, "Oh, I was trailer park trash." Well, I have news for Paula White. She may live in a mansion now. She may own a Trump Tower apartment worth $3.25 million. She may ride in a very expensive car. Paula White may have a horse stable and a stable full of horses. I mean, Paula White thinks, she claims she's rich, but her appetite is that of a putanesca. She's a spiritual harlot. And that's why in her church, you can go on Sunday morning and have her husband tell you that you can watch porn. You can watch porn. It's okay to, ladies, it's okay to watch porn with your husband. Why? Because it is church a la putanesca. See, in the cup, you have a little bit of every kind of abomination. And we saw in the Old Testament that idol worship is an abomination. We saw that prostitute wages and income is an abomination. For idol worship being an abomination, all you have to do is go to Deuteronomy 27:15, and it will tell you that idol worship, the worship of any graven image, any carved out image, any chiseled out image, the worship of any kind of image is an abomination to God. It's an abomination. It's an abomination. God says, these are the things that God declares to be an abomination. Now, in the black church, you have idol worship. Well, how do you have idol worship? I don't see any idols when I walk into the black church. The black church is not like the Roman Catholic Church, where there's an idol on every corner. There's an idol on a pedestal. Yeah, but you see, your bishop has become a god. Your bishop is your god. So that's idol worship. Prosperity has become a god. Those churches that preach prosperity and mammon are full. Why? Because the people don't go to church to serve God. They go to church to serve mammon. Because that's the gospel that is being preached in their church. The prosperity gospel is the gospel of mammon. And Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. But those churches that preach prosperity, they're packed. They are packed. So that's idol worship. You see, and that's one of the abominations in the dish when you go to and you have church a la puttanesca. And then for the wages of prostitution, you have Deuteronomy 23, verse 18. And we know that there's a guy, his name is Randy White, Paula White's former husband, and he does not have a problem taking money from real prostitutes. He says to his church members, he says, the girls from the Pink Pony, which is a strip club down the street from where his church is, the girls from the Pink Pony come here and they bring their tithes and offerings. Well, it would do Mr. White some good to read Deuteronomy 23:18. And there are people coming to church bringing tithes and offerings. People are stealing. People are committing crimes and making money off, and they're bringing their tithes and offerings to church based on those criminal activities. That is the wages of prostitution. And that's also in the cup. Notice how in your church, they're always talking about giving. And they don't care to find out what your relationship is with God. They don't care to find out. In fact, they will measure your relationship with God based on your giving. But that's a false barometer. But you see, there are prostitutes in the pulpit and there are prostitutes in the pew. And when there are prostitutes in the pulpit and prostitutes in the pew, then the wages of prostitution is not a problem to wind up in the offering basket because everyone there is a prostitute. And you're having church a la prostitute or a la puttanesca. Then there were individuals in the Old Testament who were homosexuals, and the Bible calls that act perversion. It also calls that act an abomination. That is Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20, verse 13. So homosexuality is an abomination. Prostitution wages an abomination. Idol worship an abomination. But also so is witchcraft and divination, which the black church is into. What is witchcraft? Well, putting people in spells. Brainwashing people, turning them into zombies. Paul says to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who bewitched you? That's Galatians 3:1. He says to the Galatians, I'm shocked that someone can have you walking around like if you're in a spell. I'm shocked that you're walking around like a zombie. You're alive, but you're not really alive. I'm shocked that you can be mind manipulated. You are the victim of hypnosis and witchcraft. And then divination was also. What is divination? Telling the future. Prophelying. Prophelying is divination. And you can find this in Deuteronomy 18. Verses 10 through 11, and the Bible will tell you that that is an abomination. So when you have in the cup idol worship, which is prevalent in the black church, the wages of prostitution, which is prevalent in the black church, homosexuality, which is prevalent in the black church, witchcraft and divination, which is prevalent in the... You have a cup full of abominations. You have church a la putanesca. Remember, folks, it is the woman in Revelation 17:4 that possesses the cup. The cup is in her hand. She dictates what goes into the cup, and it is abomination and filthiness. For more on what is an abomination in the Old Testament, I would refer you to Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 16. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 16. So now, today, I want to show you that there is a prominent preacher, there is a prominent bishop. He goes by the name of Wayne T. Jackson. And the reason why I want to talk about Wayne T. Jackson today is because as a bishop, his bishopric gives him the authority to ordain ministers and other bishops. That's what his powers as a prelate afford him. So now, Wayne T. Jackson ordains men, and you can look this up on YouTube. And he tried to remove the video that was on YouTube, and he was sued, and it had to be put back up because of the Fair Clause Act. That we can use material put out by other people for the purpose of teaching and instructing and empowering folk. So Wayne T. Jackson, who happens to be the owner, along with his wife Beverly, they are the owners of the Impact Network. It's a Mickey Mouse television network, but nonetheless, it is a network, and he proudly announces that it is the only black-owned Christian television station. Well, what does Mr. Wayne T. Jackson have on the Impact Network 24 hours a day? Well, he's got abominations and filthiness. He's on the Impact Network, he's promoting idol worship and the wages of prostitution, and witchcraft and divination, and everything else spelled out for us in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 16. But also, there's an abundant amount of homosexuality going on in the black church. Now, here is Wayne T. Jackson. Here's Wayne T. Jackson. And he was stupid enough, foolish enough, asinine enough to take an ordination service, which up to that point had been strictly private. And by private, I mean it was something that was seen exclusively by his local church. But somehow this fool thought, this Wayne T. Jackson, this moron thought, that the church would be ready to see a bishop, lie on top of another man. And the way Wayne T. Jackson ordains his ministers is he has them lie on the ground face down. They're lying on the ground. That's Roman Catholic, folks. You look at a Roman Catholic ordination, and all of its priests and bishops must lie face down. And it speaks, according to them, it speaks of total surrender to God. But here they are lying face down. And then Wayne T. Jackson puts a sheet over these guys. A sheet covers them completely. They're face down. They're covered with a sheet. And then he jumps on their backside. While they're face down, he jumps on their backside and moves supposedly in the spirit. You know when someone gets the spirit, how they jerk and they move. And well, he's on this guy's backside, and he's jerking and moving in the spirit. And he thought that people were going to accept that. I mean, his dopey Kool-Aid drinking church members accepted it because, you see, the bishop is a god. You don't question the bishop. When the bishop speaks, he speaks ex cathedra. He speaks and he's infallible. But when the church world got a look, we're given the ability to see what goes on at Bishop Wayne T. Jackson's ordination service. There was an uproar. Who is this guy? Why is he lying down on top of men's backsides with his front side on men's backsides? They're both on the floor. He's on top of them. Here it is.
Back up, please.
This is Mr. Jackson speaking.
Bishop, right here. Bishop, right here.
Now he's instructing them to separate. He's instructing them where they're going to stand and where they're going to lie down.
On your knees, please. You got to be buried. You got to die. So Christ can live in you. Be prepared for burial.
Now, folks, ordination has nothing to do with burial. Ordination has nothing to do with baptism. Baptism has to, you read Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, when you get baptized, you are burying your old life in the water. And when you come up to a newness of life. In other words, that old life stays behind. It's buried in your past. And now when you come up out of the waters, you are pledging to follow the Savior. And when you follow the Savior, you are no longer following Satan. Therefore, your old life, as a child of disobedience, as a child who was under the power and the control of Satan, that old life remains buried. And when you come up out of the water, now you're going to follow the Lord, and now you're going to walk in newness of life. Yes, there is a burial when it comes to baptism. But there is no burial when it comes to ordination. You cannot give me a text. You can't show me the correlation between one and the other. Because if these men are burying their old lives, then they don't qualify to be ordained. Because Paul says, if a man desire an office of a bishop, he must first prove worthy of the position, because he's done this, he's lived a reputable life. So what are you burying at Ordin? You're burying nothing. Because we've already inspected you, we've checked you out, we've lined you up to the word, and we did not find you deficient in what Paul requires, in what God requires, in what the Holy Spirit. So we ordain you. So there's nothing to bury. There's no hidden past. There's no skeletons in the closet that, you know, should have been buried long ago. Who keeps skeletons in their closet? Skeletons don't go in the closet. Clothes go in the closet. Shoes go in the closet. Skeletons go to the cemetery. They get buried. You don't keep skeletons around. So when he says we're here to bury them, bury what? Bury what? Bury what? Well, it's not the topic of today, but you know that Vatican City, the Church of Rome, Vatican City is built on a cemetery. All of Vatican's, all 26 acres of Vatican City, all of it is an old cemetery. And that's why the Catholics are so much into death. That's why the Catholics bury people inside their own churches. That's why Roman Catholicism is a religion for the dead, the spiritually dead. So what is this guy actually doing? Well, he's deep-sixing these men's careers. That's what he's doing. He's deep-sixing. That's a term when you take someone, like when they killed Osama bin Laden. Remember when, and what did he do with Osama bin Laden's body? They buried him at sea. Well, these guys are going to get buried at sea, and they're going to get buried under Wayne T. Jackson because he's going to jump on their backside.
To pray.
No, you're not giving yourself away to the Lord. You're giving yourself away to Wayne T. Jackson so that he can use and abuse you. While the choir is singing, he is taking each one of these guys by the ankle, and he's doing like a little play. He's acting out, if you will, the tying of ankles. He's tying these guys' ankles. I know that sisters listen to this program, but us fellas, for the guys, we know. We don't like people messing with our ankles. Listen, fathers tell their boys as they're growing up, watch them ankles, because fruitcakes like ankles. I mean, that all of my friends, including myself, we were all told about the ankles. Watch, don't grab your ankles. Don't let nobody grab your ankles. Well, this guy's grabbing. And listen, folks, the video, you need to see this for yourself. The video is called Bishop Lays on Top of Men to Ordain Them. Bishop Lays on Top of Men to Ordain Them. It is 8 minutes long, 8 minutes and 14 seconds long, and it will do you some good to see this for yourself. Now, here is breaking news. Now, he's been criticized. Fox 2 News in Detroit is interviewing Wayne T. Jackson and his wife Beverly and various supporters because the community was outraged as to how Mr. Jackson was ordaining these guys by jumping on their backside. Here is Wayne T. Jackson and his wife responding to critics. Because it was all over the news. This idiot thought that he could do that and get away. And no one's going to say anything. Well, maybe today they'll get away with it because now, you know, years have passed since this incident and the church has become more polluted. But back in that day, no, people weren't going to accept it. So here is Fox 2 News interviewing Wayne T. Jackson and his wife Beverly and various supporters, and they're asking, what's the big to-do? I do this all the time.
Working for you.
Nasty, and I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing because you have a nasty mind.
Our local bishop taking heat tonight over this video showing what he calls a holy ceremony, but others called it offensive and profane. On the air tonight, Holy Roller, it's the viral video that has a well-known man of the cloth fighting some nasty rumors. The bishop claims that some evil people are accusing him of acting like the devil. Fox's Andre Eisen talked with him about the growing controversy.
Bishop Wayne T. Jackson has been a pastor approaching 30 years now. His church, Impact Ministries International, on Grand River, and that is on Detroit's west side.
Bishop is a man of integrity. He's a man that loves his home, his family, his church members.
But Bishop and his congregation believe somebody is trying to tarnish his name and ruin his reputation.
People, you know, telling lies and things, you know, that wasn't true, so... To be honest with you, I don't know where it originated from, but I know it is a lie.
They say this consecration or ordination ceremony was taken out of context when somebody with cruel intentions posted it for the people, and this video went viral.
What hurt the most is for them to get on the internet and spread vicious rumors. Don't even know me, because anybody know me, my record speaks for itself. It was two bishops being consecrated under my authority. The controversy is about that when they saw that what I had prayed and laid on the participant, you know, no sexual act, but for somebody to take that and to try to use that in a perverted way, you know, we pray for him. We walk in love. When he, as they say, laid on the person, it was an upper torso, so I don't know how that was sexual. And then our children were upset. They were called, as you know, they were calling our children the girls whores and all this kind of stuff on the internet, on blogs, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. People have accused Bishop Jackson of being sexually offensive, distasteful, and performing a death ritual in the house of God. If you're ignorant about something, then you need to shut up. For real.
The Bible does not specifically say how to consecrate a bishop, okay? So what Bishop Jackson was doing was in Scripture.
And if they're lying there...
Did you hear that, moron? The Bible doesn't specifically say how to consecrate a bishop, but what Bishop Jackson was doing was in the Bible. Listen to this stupid idiot who, in one sentence, says... The Bible doesn't tell you how to ordain people, but what Jackson was doing was in the Bible. You can't have it both ways. Is it in the Bible or is it not in the Bible? Listen to this moron.
Ignorant about something, then you need to shut up. For real.
The Bible does not specifically say how to consecrate a bishop.
He just said, the Bible does not specifically say how to consecrate a bishop. Now listen to this asinine statement that follows.
Okay, so what Bishop Jackson was doing was in Scripture.
But I thought you said it wasn't in the Bible. So how could it be in Scripture? It's a moron. It's a moron.
Lying there, they're being prayed over. They're being prayed over, and as they're being prayed over, it's for the reason that they're ready to walk in the new office of a bishop.
And what people don't realize is there were two men laying down there, and I know one of them for a fact that if he thought there was anything perverse about it, he would have got up and addressed it.
That was.
Listen, buddy, listen. If you would have told me, we're going to ordain you bishop, let's just say, I mean, I may be brainwashed, but if you tell me, we're going to ordain you bishop, and I'm going to ask you to lay down on the ground, and I'm going to jump on you. I'm going to tell you, even though I'm brainwashed, even though I've been bewitched, even though I'm walking around, listen, I may be a zombie, but I'm not letting you jump on my backside. I'm sorry. I'm brainwashed. I could be brainwashed, but not that brainwashed. A grown man is going to jump, and she said upper torso. No, No, his private parts was on the other guy's private parts. And that's why I would like for you to see the video for yourself. And it's entitled Bishop Lays on Top of Men as He Ordains Them. Watch it for yourself. You. And that's why there was an outrage. And then he's jerking and moving like in the spirit. You ain't in the spirit, buddy. And these guys, many of these gals and guys in the pulpit are bisexual. I played for you Juanita Bynum. She likes men. She likes women. Perverted.
The service of covering. That's what that was all about. So I've seen it throughout my whole 28 years of being here. So it was nothing new for me.
See, she says, I saw this. The church is 30 years old, and I've been seeing this for 28 years that I've been in this church. He's been doing that. He's been jumping on guys' backsides for 28 years. It's only when it was put on the internet that he got the flack for it. But the girl said, he's been doing this for the 28 years I've been here. He's been jumping. That's how, and listen, I'm shocked that he doesn't have more consecrations. I'm shocked that he doesn't have more. But for the 28 years, 28 times in a row, he's been jumping on guys' backside. And let me tell you something. If he was ordaining me and he didn't tell me about the ritual and he caught me by surprise and he's instructing me to lie down and he's putting this, and I'm here I am saying, what's this guy doing? What's he doing putting this cloth on me? Now, I'm on the ground. He didn't tell me this was going to happen, but I don't want to show the man up, so I'm going to lie down, let him put the. But the moment he jumps on my backside, I'm jumping up and he getting the beating. You can ask me to lie down. You can put the cloth over my entire. You can cover me with the cloth. But the moment you jump on my backside and you start jerking and moving, I'm going to stay there for 5 minutes and let you jerk and move on me for five. No way. No way. Like the Hispanics say, no way, Jose. That's not happening.
And I know one of them for a fact that if he thought there was anything perverse about it, he would have got up and addressed it.
That was a service of covering. That's what that was all about. So I've seen it throughout my whole 28 years of being here.
So how does he cover the women? If he's covering the guys that way, I would like to see how he covers the women. And that's why you got to watch out with these bishops when they say, who's your covering? Who's your covering? Who's your covering? I know Jesus didn't ordain the 12 disciples this way. You read Mark 3, starting at verse 13. You read Matthew chapter 10. You read Luke 7. And you tell me if Jesus jumped on the backside of any of his disciples. And by the way, the Bible does teach. The Bible does show. The Bible has enough scriptural data to let us know how you ordain people. It's called the laying on of hands. Not the laying on of your body, but the laying on of hands. Ain't no hands on there. That was body to body.
There was nothing new for me.
People trying to single me out because they say that it was gay. And, we love all people.
Dr. Greg Stevenson is a professor of the New Testament at Rochester College. Stevenson says the ceremony is unusual, and he has never seen anything like it before.
Nor has anybody else. Unusual is a nice, that's putting it nicely, unusual. This is a professor of New Testament at Rochester University. He says, I've never heard anything like this. And I'm a professor of the New Testament. Never heard anything like this.
Trying to single me out because they say that it was gay. And, we love all people.
Dr. Greg Stevenson is a professor of the New Testament at Rochester College. Stevenson says the ceremony is unusual, and he has never seen anything like it before. However,
it is interesting that there are some elements of the ceremony that do have roots in the biblical tradition. I understand that some people are disturbed by him laying his body on top of him and sort of saw it as, in sort of a sexual connotation. I didn't necessarily see it that way, although I understand how people could take it that way.
It is hurtful that they didn't take that time to find out more about it.
I would certainly think he would expect it to raise some eyebrows, and certainly it's a very provocative sort of ordination ceremony.
Anytime you go against, you know, what's the norm, you know, people, they tend to have something to say about it.
Yes, I would do it again because that's their minds. If your mind is nasty, then it's nasty. And I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing because you have a nasty mind.
Right.
But, you know, this is a holy act, and it was powerful when it took place.
Now, again, the bishop says everything you saw in the video, including the sheath, including him jumping on or pouring himself onto the person and praying on them, all of that comes from Scripture. He says it represents the death and burial of the old person and the rising into the new office of a bishop. He's been doing this since 1998. Now he says he's being cyberbullied and attacked for it for no good reason at all. Now, this performance, this ceremony, was done in front of more than 1,000 people. It was streamed online to millions of people, and it wasn't done last week. It was in August. Here.
And, of course, the bishop has been married for decades, has 9 kids. As you said, he's been doing this for years. So why is this coming out now?
Well, you know, he says there may have been some disgruntled members of the church who no longer are members here now. He believes those people, out of anger, posted them online, posted the video online, and put some nasty comments online to spark this controversy on purpose, and it gained wind, unfortunately. And now, look where we are now. He says, though, he will pray for those people, the people who posted it, the people who are saying all these other mean things, no matter what.
All right, Andrea, it's being looked at very differently across the country right now. It's hard to say.
Yes, it is.
We know him here, but the rest of the nation does not. If you want to know what you think about the bishop's controversial ceremony, just leave your comments on our Facebook page.
Yeah, he's a pervert. That's my comment. He's a pervert. Now, here is, this happened last week, and this is at Wayne T. Jackson's church. Wayne T. Jackson is the bishop that, again, just jumped on those boys to ordain them. And he had Donald Trump. Donald Trump was at Wayne T. Jackson's church. Donald Trump was in Detroit last week at Wayne T. Jackson's church looking for black votes. And Wayne T. Jackson gave Donald Trump the platform, but this is what has happened. A fight broke out the following Sunday, a fight broke out because there was no Secret Service now. Remember, when Donald Trump was there, there was tons of Secret Service. But this Sunday, with Donald Trump gone and no Secret Service, this is what happened at Wayne T. Jackson's church. There was mayhem. A fight broke out. A fight. And the fight broke out for two reasons. One, people expressing black power or power to the people. They're upset with Wayne T. Jackson because they feel that he's giving a racist, like they claim, Donald Trump, the platform. Now, whatever your opinions are about Donald Trump, that's your opinion. But that's a fight broke out because they see Wayne T. Jackson as an Uncle Tom who sees that potentially Donald Trump can become president, and he's just trying to set up alliances. So now there's a fight, and the YouTube clip is 4 minutes, 29 seconds long, 4.5 minutes. It's called Church Fight Breaks Out After Someone Yells, Power to the People. That's the title. Church Fight Breaks Out After Someone Yells, Power to the People. Finish fists are being thrown, chairs are being thrown, cuss words, people are being grabbed, security showing up. It's ugly in there, and it's and these people are being let out, and it gets ugly in the parking lot.
Me, man, don't touch me. Don't touch me, man. Don't touch me, bro.
One more time.
Don't touch me, bro. Don't touch me, bro. Get off of me, man.
All right.
One more time, my ass.
Okay, it starts getting ugly now. The curse words are coming out, so I'm not going to play that. But it got really, really, really ugly at the church. Now, one of my listeners sent me a newspaper article, and in fact, it's Fox News 2, and it's by Randy. The author of the article is Randy Wimbley, and it is entitled "Protests Against Wealthy Pastor by Activists Who Disrupt Church Service." And this is basically what it says. We were led to believe in the YouTube clip that these people were upset because Donald Trump showed up. That's only half the story. That's only half the angle. The reason why there was a protest in this church is not only because Donald Trump showed up, but the organization called New Era Detroit. The organization that was protesting is called New Era Detroit. And it says New Era Detroit is calling church into accountability for taking is taking congregations to task for not serving the community as churches should. They say something doesn't add up when the pastor makes lots of money, drives a luxury car, and the people who live near the church are in poverty. In poverty. It goes on to say, the situation is bigger than Wayne T. Jackson. Zeke, who is a spokesman of the organization, said, "This is about black churches and black pastors who live a lavish life on behalf of the people, and they are not giving back to their community." Here it is again. Why did? What was the reason? Part of the reason of the protest, the spokesman for New Era Detroit said, "This is about black churches and black pastors who live a lavish lifestyle on behalf of the people, and they are not giving the people, or they're not giving the community back." Mr. Zeke goes on to say, there was an offering on Saturday. They started the offering at $1,000, started to collect the offering, and the offering started at $1,000. And then from $1,000, it went down to $300. And then it was said to the people, if you don't have cash, we got ATM machines. That's what caused the uproar. They started to collect an offering. The offering started at $1,000. They kept going down to $300. And then they told the people, if you don't have cash, we have ATM machines. Mr. Zeke went on to say, I don't understand the logic. I don't understand the way of thinking. I don't understand that to be what religion is. This guy, speaking of Wayne T. Jackson, has networks, churches, fancy cars, million-dollar houses, Zeke said. And there's babies in this community that don't have food at night. Somebody has to be frustrated about this enough to do something that will get people's attention, and that's what New Era Detroit did. The protest just wasn't about Donald Trump visiting the church. The protest was about these pimp preachers, these bishops, living in the lap of luxury as their people squalor in poverty. But I want to go back to the homosexual angle to it, because here is another clip. Here is another clip. And this is supposedly a comedian, and a black comedian at that, and he is referring to the black church and the homosexuality that is prevalent in the black church. So here is the gay church exposed in the African American community.
Crazy. I don't know. The biggest thing, though, for me, like, coming out was the whole religion thing. Like, that was definitely the whole religion thing, and then I hated myself. And, like, it's crazy because, like, a lot of these pastors, especially in the black churches, like, they get up and they just talk about, like, gay people and how gay people are wrong and bad. And half of them are gay themselves, you know.
I said that in jest, but that's
what
I'm doing.
No, but that's interesting.
Yeah, that's we don't do weird stuff. Now, the other hypocritical.
And this is now the defunct bishop, Carlton Pearson. Here he is on CNN. This is after the Eddie Long scandal. Here he is talking about how pastorates are prevalent in the black church.
Aspect of that is our churches, Kira, are filled with same gender loving people, from the music department to the pulpits.
Did you hear that? Carlton Pearson, a black bishop in the black church, the guy who is famous for the Azusa Street revivals, this guy, he's saying that the gay community is prevalent from the music ministry to the pulpit. In other words, when you're into praise and worship, most likely the people leading the praise and worship are gay. And when you listen to the sermon, most likely the guy in the pulpit is gay, or the woman in the pulpit is lesbian. This is Carlton. Now, Carlton Pearson would know. Carlton Pearson would know, because he's up there and he knows them all. He knows them all.
Hypocritical aspect of that is our churches, Kira, are filled with same gender loving people from the music department to the pulpits. Black music, church music, where would it be without our same gender loving or gay musicians and singers? Not all of them are.
But many of us come to you and said, can't come
oh,
out.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yeah.
We're talking very powerful people within
yes,
the gospel
ma'am.
Industry.
Yes,
I've
ma'am.
Met them.
Yes, ma'am. With tears in their eyes. They were afraid. There are people who come to me and say, I embrace your gospel of inclusion, Bishop, but I can't. It's not a theological issue with me. It's a business decision. I'll lose my flock. I'll lose my money. I'll lose my parsons. I'll lose myself. I can't love everybody. I can't even love me, he would say. And I want to say to that group, and this is a wake-up call. Until the church, black or otherwise, confronts this issue of human sexuality and homosexuality, which is not going away. Homosexuals and homosexuality going away. If every gay person in our churches left, or those who have an orientation or a preference or an inclination or fantasy, if everyone left, we wouldn't have a church.
This is, yeah, it's interesting.
Inclination or fantasy. If everyone left, we wouldn't have a church.
This is, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, there are gay doctors, police officers, attorneys, priests. Look at the whole Catholic Church.
So you got it, folks. There you got it. He ties it into the Roman Catholic Church. He ties it back to the hooer of Revelation 17. Well, saints, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I love you in Jesus. Remember to help me get those email addresses and all of the addresses for these bishops and the churches. I love you in Jesus' name. Till tomorrow. Stay away from church a la putanesca.